This is Hard Facts.
Is the university admissions system broken or just fine? The university admissions system, is it broken or is it just fine? This is the first in a series about JAMB and Nigeria's admissions system. So we're going to do it again next week, Thursday, maybe the upper week, maybe the upper week. We'll see how it goes. But today's big hard fact, last week, JAMB announced that it will no longer set a central UTME cutoff score for admissions. Instead, schools will be able to set their own cutoffs. We talked about it on the Big Three last week, Wednesday. You had a lot to say on the subject, so I planned for us to talk a bit more about it today. But over the past week, the more I planned today's show, the more of your messages I read, the more I realized that, this thing is a much wider topic. We're just going to expand it and talk about admissions as a whole, right? So we're going to start off with the cutoff score today. But over the next few Thursdays, we're going to look at other things like falling UTME scores, admissions mismatches, top performers not getting admissions due to school choice, the catchment area system, educationally less developed states, the works. We're just going to talk about all of it. But today, let's talk about cutoffs. Joining me to talk about this is an education researcher and consultant. He's also a friend of the show, Peter Ogudoro. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Yeah, Sandra, it's my pleasure to join you this evening.
Yes, good to have you back. Lagos, you are also our guest as well. We want to hear from you. What do you think about JAMB decentralizing UTME cutoffs? Women, you can call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Dr. Ogudoro, tell us first of all, how does the universal cutoff work? Can you explain how universal cutoff worked? Why did it exist?
Well, it's all about guaranteeing minimum standard. So when we talk about universal cutoff point, it is a point that every candidate who wishes to get into a tertiary institution in Nigeria needs to get to before we can allow that candidate to compete at the next higher level. Before about 15 years ago, this really wasn't at the level we have it now. Then there was just one cutoff point. JAMB had it, and once you meet it, you automatically secure admission into the university of your first choice, especially. But after some time, universities observed that many of the candidates who got into their schools as a result of the cutoff that JAMB chose didn't meet their expectations. So you see a candidate who came in with a score of 320, but that candidate is giving you a performance of 180. And so university said, no, we can't continue to live our lives like this. If we can't get government to scrap JAMB, because their examination is not giving us the validity we want to be able to select people who can benefit maximally from university education, then we should be permitted to examine those candidates further. And so then we are permitted to go into what we now know as post-UTME. And so for you to be able to compete at the level of post-UTME, you have to score a certain minimum. So for some time now, for federal universities, that certain minimum has been 200 out of 400. For state universities, for some time it has been about 190. For private universities, it has been about 180. For polytechnics, about 170, 160. For colleges of education, much lower. And so it doesn't automatically guarantee you admission, but it gives you opportunity to get selected to compete at the next level, which eventually, if depending on your performance, will determine whether or not you get into university. That's how it has been working for some time.
But it's
changing now.
JAMB says they took the decision because universities couldn't agree on a universal cutoff. What caused this disagreement?
Well, we have to come to the recognition that our university system has been running a very dysfunctional system for quite some time. And the whole idea of licensing a lot of private universities has created many challenges in the system for quite some time. We know that Nigeria is a poor country. Most Nigerian parents lack the capacity to keep their children in private universities. Mm. And that means that most private universities that now have licenses to run tertiary institutions are having difficulty recruiting an adequate number of students from the pool of candidates who write UTME. So if you now insist, for example, that cutoff has to be 200, the truth of the matter is that the average candidate will not even consider any private university at all. And that's what has been happening for quite some time. So for private universities, for example, the only way they can get some candidates to look in their direction is if they are not going to insist on high cutoff points. And so I want to believe that they have been in the vanguard pushing for JAMB not to be insisting on high cutoff points for them. That's one. And then for polytechnics and colleges of education, we know the kind of image they have in our country. The polytechnics are not as popular as they used to be because we have been discriminating against HND holders, even when now we are saying HND and first degree don't have any significant difference. But we know that employers still perceive HND as an inferior academic credential. Whether that is right or wrong is a discussion for another day. But that's the reality that we have in our hands at the moment. That's another level. And then more critically, what you find is that many courses in the university are undersubscribed.
Okay.
So this is a country that has need for mathematics teachers, for example.
Okay.
But what you find is that whereas electrical electronic engineering will have cutoff point that sometimes as high as 280.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to study mathematics, you should be able to get in with as low as 170. But when JAMB says unless you score a minimum of 200, you shouldn't even be considered at all, then it means that mathematics departments across the country will continue to remain undersubscribed, meaning that we will not be able to get enough mathematics teachers to run our secondary school system, our primary school system. So if you move in the direction that JAMB has moved now, then universities will be able to say, yes, for medicine, 280 will be our cutoff, but for mathematics, so long as you have the minimum aptitude to benefit from our classes, even if you have only 150, we're going to allow you to come. Because by their judgment, probably half bread should be better than none. And so a lot of variables have gone into this new arrangement.
So now that the cutoff has been liberalized, can we expect to see some schools raise theirs very high while others drop theirs very low? Are we about to see a stratification of schools by admissions requirement?
That certainly is what is going to happen. And that shouldn't surprise anyone. In most countries, it's also like that.
Right.
In the U.S., for example, academic credentials you need to get into Harvard are not the same academic credentials you need to get into a community college. In the U.K., the academic credentials you need to get into Oxford and Cambridge and the University of London as well as Imperial College are not the same level of academic credentials that you need to get into universities that are not at that level of competition.
Right.
And so in Nigeria, federal universities are going to have significantly higher cutoff marks because first, they are relatively cheaper to study in those schools, and they are also offering, generally speaking, superior quality education. So the brightest kids finishing secondary school, especially if their parents are not from elite homes where you can find more money, they are likely to want to compete to get into federal schools because federal schools are in terms of what you pay, it's not if even the poorest person in Nigeria can school in UNILAG, in spite of the fact that they deliver generally better quality education compared to the average state school in the country. This doesn't apply all the time, so we don't get into the debate of, but I know a private state university that is doing better than UNILAG. But those of us who do research in the industry, we know that the top professors in the country, you find them in places like Ahmadu Bello, University of Nigeria, Soka, Ife, Ibadan, and University of Lagos. So those schools are going to begin to see a surge in very high quality candidates, those who finished at the top of their classes in the best of secondary schools around the country. Whereas those universities that are not top notch, by the judgment of parents and children, are likely to be asking for lower cutoff marks. Otherwise, they won't be able to get students to subscribe for their courses.
Are we also going to see universities scrap their post-UTME exams since they can simply set their UTME cutoffs to the level that they think is best?
Well, that's a very interesting question. My body language at the moment is to say that is not likely to happen because one of the undercurrents that might have actually influenced this whole idea of JAMB should not be telling us about what should be our cutoff mark might have been the need to even recruit more people to come and write post-UTME by universities, because it's also a revenue stream for most of them. You know, for the average university, they charge about 2,000 naira per candidate. So if you reduce your cutoff point for post-UTME, what you'll find is that you are going to make money from more people, really. So if you move from 200 and descend to 100 for example, 170, you might be letting in as many as 4,000, 5,000, 10,000 more candidates, you know, sometimes even 20,000 for the very high in demand universities like UI, Ilore, UNILAG, Ahmadu Bello, and Soka. So I don't see them saying, well, we don't need post-UTME again, because post-UTME exam is a revenue generator for most universities in the country at the moment, especially federal schools who have high demand for the courses that they offer. So they are making billions of naira annually from the money young people spend to go and write post-UTME. It's a one-day exam, and most of those exams are CBT, so it doesn't cost much to conduct those exams. Mm. So with maximum 400 naira per candidate, you have conducted the exam, but you are charging them 2,000 naira. So you are making a profit of as high as probably as something in the region of 1,600 naira. If you multiply that by 40,000 candidates, 50,000 candidates who you want to come and write the exam, you can see how much money the universities are raking in through post-UTME exam. It's not a very fair system, I must confess, because if JAMB does an excellent job, there should be no reason why a candidate will write JAMB UTME and go and do another one at the university level. We are not being fair to Nigerian parents and their children.
Lagos, let's talk, shall we? 0700-993-993-993. Men, call me on that number. Women, call me on 01465-7190. What do you think about JAMB decentralizing UTME cutoffs? What do you think about some of the insights that Dr. Peter Ogudoro has shared with us on the show this evening? First up is Benjamin. Benjamin is in Ikeja. Hello, Benjamin. Thank you very much for calling us.
Yeah, good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. Welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's nice speaking with you and your guest there. And I've listened to all you have said. You see, Sandra, it was the same experience I passed through in 2009/10.
Okay.
I wrote JAMB. And in that period, there was serious strike, ASU strike. And I bought JAMB form, and I went. They asked us to submit all our credentials before screening and all that, and which I did. And before I did that, I scored 178 in JAMB. And after that, they now said they need 170. So that means I'm having 178. That means I can get access to admission, right?
Okay.
But unfortunately. Hello?
Yes, I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
Yeah, unfortunately, the very day I'm supposed to, I came with my file after 2 days of submitting my credentials when they said 170. They now said we should come for screening. So the second day I came there for screening, they placed the notice board that they have changed the score mark to 180.
Okay.
But if you don't have 180, no admission. So I had to go to the registrar office to lodge a complaint. But could you believe the registrar was saying he don't want to see anybody? But I have a friend of mine who was calling below my, but because he has a family who has upper hand, they granted him admission at the end of the day. So I couldn't get the admission, and whereas I had to switch to Polytechnic, where they were asking for 170 and above. That was how I switched then. So what am I saying? This level of our education in Nigeria is extremely, extremely poor. Very, very poor. That is the reason why now that they have switched over score mark given to every institution to outline their score marks based on their own position of education system there. That means it's going to increase, what I saw there, it's going to increase the level of corruption. Because what I saw in 2009/10, it was unbelievable. So I don't think that if they should, this should be detected under Ministry of Education, not as well, every academic union. It should be under Ministry of Education in Federal. They should outline, and National Assembly should pass it to each and every institution that this is the score mark, and this thing they did it before. So by switching to the university, for everybody to outline his course, it's going to cause a lot of discrepancies.
All right, Benjamin, thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good evening, Sandra.
Good evening, what's your name? Hello?
Florence on the line.
Welcome, go ahead.
Yeah, we go to my room. I think the exam should know what they are really doing. There's so much corruption in exam. I have a son that made 250 last year for accounting, and the school he applied for, they said 180. But because I don't know what happened when he wanted to register for the UCME, they keep on saying that their portal is having problems and that they will open it. Before you know it, they said they are not registering for the UCME again. And that was the end of that. Now this year he wrote another one, he made 211. And we are still been looking out for the UCME so that he will register. I know of somebody that did not make up the cutoff mark that the school deserves. But because she has upper hand in the school, the father knows people there, she has to be admitted. So the jam, I don't really understand what they are doing, setting the children back. Tomorrow they will say children are roaming up and down, being tough and all that. Why they are not giving them the chance to go to school and engage themselves? So they should really know what they are doing. I don't know what they are doing there.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling us. Women, call us on 01465-7190. Men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Hello. Thank you for calling us.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
What's your name? Good evening.
Good evening.
Can you turn your radio off, please?
Yes, I'm a little bit far from it now.
Just turn it off.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, please.
Let me turn the radio off properly.
All right. He has ended the call then. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello, good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. Can you speak into your phone? We're struggling to hear you.
Yeah, I'm speaking directly into my phone.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'm down.
Oh, your voice is very faint. I don't know what's happening there. Are you talking with an earpiece?
not exactly. Let me call back.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to social media where we've got comments on Facebook. Jonathan Atuvier says, a country where they do things based on who you know, corruption is eating us deeply. Philip Spain says, Sandra, why should Nigeria be shy to understudy other countries who are doing well in this case, in the regions doing it relatively well? The same question is asked somewhere. Why can't Nigeria study countries like Ghana, Gambia, Sierra Leone, and others? Okay, Philip Spain, thank you very much for your message. Iman UL, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, says that it's based on connection. In Nigeria these days, even to get a plate of rice in an occasion, you must have a legit connection. Nze is in Adeni Jones. Nze, welcome.
Yes. My contribution, education in Nigeria, I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Let me tell you my own scenario. During my own time, the number of people that have second class upper was many.
Okay.
And one person has first class.
Okay.
They gave this girl 4.49 and said that how can she get first class? It's over 20 years, nobody has gotten first class. Talk more of a girl. Then for all that have 2.1, they say that the people that have second class upper is too much. So after the first defense, were about 10 people that have second class upper. The other people were giving second class lower. That is Nigerian University, Federal University for that. So I can't say, I don't even know what's going on. It's only God that will save us in the educational system of Nigeria.
Nze, thank you so much for calling to share that outlandish story. Good Lord. Do you know that in universities abroad, if you don't have enough first-class students, as a lecturer, you'll lose your job? In universities abroad, if you have too many students who are not doing well academically, the lecturers lose their jobs. Like, they're giving targets about how many people they want to graduate in flying colors in a particular class or department or set, because these things are often tied to the kinds of funds that they receive for research and things like that. But that's a different conversation entirely. It's very different from the conversation we're having today, which is the admissions system, where trying to answer whether the university admission system is broken or if it is just fine. And we have an education researcher on the show with us today, Dr. Peter Ogudoro, and he's answering questions for us about JAMB's announcement that JAMB will no longer set a central UTME cutoff score for admissions. We'll take a quick break, come back and continue our conversation. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria in
Focus. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. It's 5:31 and we have Dr. Peter Ogudoro on the show with us today. He is a friend of the show and an education researcher. And today we're asking, is the university admissions system broken or just fine? Because last week, JAMB announced that it will no longer set a central UTME cutoff score for admissions. Instead, schools will be able to set their own cutoffs. And Dr. Ogudoro has been talking to us about what he thinks about this situation. Now, Dr. Ogudoro, before we come back to the phone lines, even though this universal cutoff is gone, JAMB will still play a role in the admissions process beyond setting the UTME and making the scores available. What other parts of the admissions process will JAMB still have control over?
Well, by current education policies, for you to even finish university or polytechnic and be able to do national service, you should be able to prove that you passed through a system that JAMB superintended to get into the university system. And so so JAMB will continue to be in reckoning. They are not going to get off the system. I know that there has been agitations as to, JAMB being scrapped, because if universities are conducting exams to determine who ultimately comes into their campuses to study, the question is, do we need JAMB? We have to answer that question by revisiting what pushed us into establishing JAMB in the first place. Before JAMB came into existence, universities had the sole responsibility to begin and finish the process of recruiting students into their campuses. But what used to happen there was that one person may hold seven admissions, into Nsukka, Ahmadu Bello, Lagos State University, whereas several hundreds of thousands don't even have one admission at all, because he's the top candidate, he's very good, so everywhere he goes to, he gets admitted, whereas the rest don't succeed in getting into anywhere. And so JAMB came in to end that type of palaver. So with JAMB, you get only one admission, and whatever remains is shared among those who are not probably as bright as you are. So JAMB will continue to conduct those exams to be able to eliminate that duplication of admissions for a few individuals, whereas the majority of Nigerian children are struggling to find universities that can accept them. And in some sense, it also reduced the quantum of corruption in the system, because when you leave everything in the hands of universities, then you are permitting universities to be the sole determinant of those who come into their places to study. And we know how it works in Nigeria. If your father is a bachelor's law, your uncle or your father knows the bachelor's law, knows things of faculties or this kind of place you want to go and study, then you can be guaranteed admission. That challenge has not been completely eliminated, I must admit. But overall, the presence of JAMB in the system has helped to minimize the incidence of one person holding 30 admissions, whereas the majority have nowhere to go.
Yeah, but how much control should JAMB have over admissions versus the schools themselves?
Under normal circumstances, and of course, when people like us wrote that exam we are referring to, which JAMB should pretend, there was nothing like post-UTME. Once you do well in your university exam that JAMB conducts, universities had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
JAMB will just send you an admission letter. You just carry admission letter to University of Lagos, and they are under obligation to admit you to study.
Yeah.
Anybody who studied, we got into university some 30 years ago, 25 years ago, didn't have to go through the experience of post-UTME.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was like that then.
Yeah.
And so, but I have told you, that there's a reason why we now have post-UTME. It's because after some point, it became obvious that the JAMB UTME started lacking what we call validity. In other words, it started lacking the capacity to predict which candidates had the ability to benefit adequately from university education. So the porosity of the system which JAMB was running was letting miscreants and very dull students into the university system, whereas many of the young people who also had very capable backgrounds were not getting in there as a result of examination malpractice, as a result of interference of external factors in the examination process. And so universities wanted to end that by insisting that they should be permitted to conduct their own exams. But I have also mentioned to you that beyond minimizing the problem of lack of validity in the examination, there is also this idea coming essentially from state governments and federal governments as directives to universities that they own, that those universities should work harder at internally generated revenue. And most universities, especially those who are publicly owned, have seen post-UTME as a revenue stream. And indeed, it is generating a lot of money. Some of them make billions of naira every year. Just as JAMB makes billions of naira to which it gives federal government, for which we have been clapping hands for the registrar for quite some time. So that challenge is there. I don't see this ending in a hurry. And there are several other nuanced issues that are involved, which I'm not sure the powers that regulate your industry will permit us to examine. They are very sensitive issues. For example, one of the things we might discover as we research further into what has just happened is the possibility that, given the fact that we have had very serious security challenges in most parts of the north for quite some time, parents are no longer, parents in the South are unwilling to allow their children to go and study in universities in the North. And that means that whereas there is high demand for spaces available in universities in the South, you'll find many courses, very attractive courses, interestingly, even in places like Ahmadu Bello, you know, in Zaria, and other universities in the North, not getting the kind of demand, you know, vice chancellors and deans of faculties in those places would be expected. So when you knock off universal cutoff points, you are now permitting universities in the North to admit, you know, using lower cutoff points, the kind of people they think might be able to benefit from university education, rather than insisting that if they don't have 200, you can bring them in. So, but those are not issues we want to happen for too long, because this is some, carries some political implications, and somebody will come in now from the North and start, you know, jumping into the discussion without understanding where we are coming from. But those are things that we cannot ignore. They are issues that we live with as a people.
But my question was, how much control should JAMB have over admissions? Because, I mean, you have other schools. You mentioned other schools all over the world, and these schools control the admissions processes themselves. So how much control over the process should JAMB have versus the schools themselves?
If you give me the opportunity to determine what should obtain, in all honesty and in fairness and to guarantee equity, fairness and justice, I would actually prefer a system that permits JAMB to be the authority that determines who gets into the university. But JAMB, as it's presently constituted, doesn't seem to have the capacity to play that role fairly, equitably and in a just manner. Because if we equip JAMB with the right skills, the manpower and the technology, we should go back to what it used to be before, where universities had little or nothing to do with who comes into universities to study. So if you eliminate corruption from the system, the examinations have validity, and we are not looking at faces in determining who meets the cutoff, you know, a point for anybody to get into anywhere. Then JAMB should be the sole authority that determines who meets the minimum standard, you know, to get into any university to study. That solves the problem that it was originally established to attend to. This whole idea of JAMB will play a little role and then universities will continue from there introduces so much corruption into the system. You hear about vice chancellors list, you hear about dean's list, you hear about head of department's list. If you allow JAMB to be the sole authority determining who goes into the university, all those lists get eliminated, and then you run a fair, just you know, and equitable system that ensures that all Nigerian children start the race from a level playing ground. And I think that if we really want a fair and equitable society, an egalitarian one, that is the type of, you know, JAMB we should have. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we have built that JAMB in terms of intellectual capacity as well as the technology that will make it happen.
Now, some say that this argument over cutoff marks have been going on for years. It has been going on for years. Some people will say, oh, that it's addressing the symptom, not the disease. They feel that the real problem is that fewer and fewer applicants are getting relatively good scores on the UTME itself. So, for example, out of the 1.3 million who took the last UTME, less than 5,000 scored 300 or higher. That's less than half of 1%. So as long as that trend continues, will cutoff marks for most schools keep spiraling downwards?
Well, we have to put the last UTME in its proper context and understand what happened. That exam was written post-lockdown that had something to do with the pandemic, you know, coronavirus.
Right.
So most Nigerian children were not in the school for many months. And we still insisted on using established standards to determine whether or not they could, you know, get A1 or B2 in physics, chemistry and biology and then pass in JAMB. So, but in other climes, that didn't happen. In Britain, for example, for last year, many people people got into the university, the majority of students who are studying in the university as first year students now in the UK didn't have to be bothered with having to write a GCA level.
Mm-hmm.
In the US, they didn't insist on using scholastic aptitude tests to determine who got into university. They depended on results that came from the high schools that these young people attended, because pandemic made it difficult for them to study and write exams under normal conditions.
Hmm.
And so compelling children to write exams that is standardized, when we know that we didn't exhaust the curriculum they were supposed to be put through before they were exposed to public examinations, wasn't really a fair thing that we did to Nigerian children. And so at the end of the day, for WAEC exams and NECA exams, the majority of them cheated. On record, they did well. But those of us who do research in the system know that parents working in collaboration, in complicity with school authorities, bribed WAEC officials who turned a blind eye to examination malpractice. So children wrote exams and came out with good grades. But when JAMB came into the scene and applied their own standards without these parents having the capacity, you know, in collaboration with the school system to cheat the system, they all fell short of what we're expecting them to deliver. That's what happened. And so this may not repeat next year, because we have opened up the system and children are back to school, teachers are in the classroom teaching, so I expect that the UTME of next year, in terms of academic performance of the candidates who will confront that exam, will be significantly better than what we have seen in recent times. We must put these things in proper perspective. The candidates didn't prepare well because the teachers were not in the classrooms to teach them. That's why they cut off. That's why the performances of most of our candidates.
Yeah, but that's for 20. But that's for 2020. How about the years before that? JAMB has continued to say that results have been poorer and poorer and poorer year after year before the pandemic.
You should know that it has to be so. Because we are a people who refuse to listen to experts who have ideas on how we can run a proper education system.
Mm.
What we do in Nigeia is just, you know, to promote rote learning. Most of these children don't understand what they are being taught. They just cram things and use those things to write why you can take exams and pass.
Mm.
You must know, if you're in the system, that UTME is of a higher standard. When you get to UTME, emphasis is now on application of knowledge, not just having knowledge which you cram without understanding it. Most of the children who finish secondary school here, high school as you would call it in another climb,
mm-hmm.
are children who have crammed things and passed exams with those things. But when JAMB comes into the equation, JAMB is asking questions that are higher in terms of, you know, complexity, degree of complexity.
Mm-hmm.
So most of our children fall short because they have not been taught in a way that makes them analytical thinkers, critical thinkers who can do deep thinking to be able to answer the kind of questions that JAMB, you know, poses to them.
Mm.
And if you do research the way I do, you will know that indeed, JAMB in recent times has fared better in terms of eliminating the leakages that make their candidates cheat in exams.
Mm.
And so that makes it difficult for candidates not to study hard and still do well in public examinations. So you still find a lot of that applying to NECO and WAEC.
Mm.
Because many schools collaborate with parents, you know, to bribe examination supervisors who turn a blind eye to examination malpractice. So candidates are carrying results that they do not merit. This doesn't happen in every school. So we don't get in people who say, but I know my school is different. We are talking about the majority of schools in Nigeria. There are a few schools that are positively different. And most of these things actually are perpetrated more, even in the so-called mushroom, you know, private schools. A good number of public schools are still insisting that things have to be done properly. But overall, examination malpractice has created most of the challenges that we are discussing on this platform.
Lagos, let's talk. 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. We have WhatsApp available. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. And of course, there's Facebook, where we're streaming live. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. We're streaming on YouTube as well, Nigeria Info FM. The report concerning WAEC results of students last year is very true. This update between JAM and varsities is aimed at generating revenues. At the end, tribalism and other corruption will surface, hence affecting the student. Problems keep compounding everywhere. We even have admission for students from education less developed states. That's a message from Emmanuel in Ajah. Emmanuel, thank you very much for messaging us. Matthew is in Lekki. Hello, Matthew.
Yeah, President Sandra, good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for calling us. Go ahead.
Yes, please, I want to ask a question.
Yes, please.
Please, I want to be clarified in this perspective of if JAM should not have the full control of admissions, and then is UTME going to be existing? Or I don't know. Is it only the only exam that should be taken? Is it only JAM? Or after JAM, you're still going to write UTME exam again?
Well, it's not clear at the moment. We don't know if you're still going to write post-UTME. But as soon as that information becomes available, I'll share it with you, Matthew.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Dr. Ogudoro, I have that right?
Well, if I got him right, he wants to know if there will still be post-UTME this year. Is that the point?
Yes, not this year, but if there will still be post-UTME now that there's no more cut-off marks for JAM.
Well, all other factors are called yes. We will continue to have post-UTME. I've told you why. Post-UTME is there to address two problems. First, to ensure that only competent candidates get into university. That's in theory. Second point is the fact that universities are using it as a revenue stream. They make money through it because candidates, you know, pay about 2,000 naira, and then if you have, you know, 30,000 candidates, you know, contesting for that exam, you have admission, you have spaces for only 2,000, and 30,000 are contesting. You make money, and that for schools like Unilag, Ibadan, Ife, and Amadibelo, you know, if that money runs into over a billion naira annually. So they will continue to target that money and they want to make it. So children should not relax and assume that because JAM says universities have to determine their own cutoff points, then it means they are not going to write UTME. Continue to prepare for post-UTME is going to come because universities will insist on using it to make money, and they also address the fundamental problem that pushed them even into asking for post-UTME. That will remain relevant. I don't see them scrapping post-UTME in a hurry.
Okay, 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Hello, is this Sandra?
This is Sandra. What's your name?
Good evening, Mr. Ogene from Ikorodu.
Welcome.
Oh, okay. What your analyst there just said is totally correct. Okay. It is totally correct. I remember some years ago, I wanted to write WAEC. That should be 4 years ago.
Okay.
In a private school.
Okay.
The proprietress has to tell me that I'm going to pay about 85,000 naira. And I said, what happened? They said, don't you know that you have to settle one or two people that will come to the exam on that day? And I was forced to quit because I don't have such amount of money. And I've been seeing it around. Even this year, I know of parents that paid for special centers. So for us to have a better education, parents have to encourage their children. And schools and teachers will also encourage the students so that they'll be able to fix what they have been teaching them on the day of exam. Thank you.
Thank you, Sogane, for calling. Incidentally, some of these people are the same people who will call me on the radio to talk about politicians or the injustices of Nigeria, etc., etc. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello, Sandra.
Hi, thanks for calling.
How are you doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to contribute to the program.
Go ahead, please.
Now, I heard the man speak about exam malpractice. Now, the certain thing does not know about WAEC and its process and concerning exam malpractice and the things that have been put in place to estimate it. Now, I'm speaking from an informed person, You know, the truth is that it's not possible for WAEC to cover all the exams, rely on teachers to conduct their exams. That is under Kabul College.
Can you turn your radio off? Because it's very distracting.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, most schools tend to want to compromise with each other. But in our own part, we've been able to put on the system to checkmate that by deploying an application called IDP. IDP is called Item Differential Profile. Are you with me?
I'm with you, but it's very distracting because your radio is on, so I can't really, focus on what you're saying. Perhaps give us a call back, even though we don't have the time for you to give us a call back. Dr. Gudoro, I'll have to thank you for your time. I do appreciate you always being on hand whenever we have to talk about the education sector. I was going to talk to you about the interesting debate that my callers had last week. Some said higher cutoffs are a bad thing because they're stopping people from getting into university. Others said Nigerians have too much of an entitlement mentality towards tertiary education, and we need to understand that it's merit-based. My next question off of that would have been, do you think that the public should lower their expectations about admission to university, or do you think that universities should lower their admissions standards? But I think I'll leave it for next week when we come back to this conversation. Is that okay?
Absolutely fine.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure.
All right, Lagos, that's all the time we have for today. Let's do this again tomorrow.